I mean, I'm not going to talk to you about praise and worship, you know, or coming into the sanctuary heavy and not coming in and worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. Because God has been speaking to us about the heart. God has been speaking to us about going back to our first love. And with troubles that come our way, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to not come and worship Him in spirit and truth. It's easy to get very carnal. And it's easy to just not serve God the way we're supposed to be. Amen? Because we're thinking about our troubles. We're thinking about our future, you know, in a carnal way. Not the way God has told us our future is going to be. So we get caught up in that. And then when we come into the sanctuary or to the service, we're carnal. And God has been speaking to us about it. Basically, that's what we're doing, right? We're not coming in here worshiping God in spirit and truth and, you know, truly from our heart. We have forgotten what God has done for us. When we die, we're going to heaven. That's what it's about. It's about our soul, our spirits going up to heaven, amen? But that's not enough. Isn't that the way we're acting? It's just kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's when we die. What about now? What about right now? So the last thing we want to do is come to church and get rebuked, right? I know I don't want to, right? Because the Bible says when He rebukes us, it's because He loves us, right? He's trying to straighten us up a little bit, but we don't like it because we're being carnal. Amen? We don't want to hear straighten out. We don't want to hear that you lost your first love. What? How? How did I get so far away from my first love? Like when you first fell in love with Jesus Christ. You were so happy. You had to go around telling everybody the goodness of God. You couldn't wait to share with people. When my son died, and He resurrected him before my eyes, my whole family got saved. We were so on fire for God. So on fire for God. Until this day, we promised God that day when Joshua died, if you just give him back to us, I promise I will serve you the rest of my life. And it hasn't been easy. But I have a living miracle in my house. I have a reminder. But even with a miracle living in my home, you forget. You forget. We forget the goodness of God because the season has been going so long. We forget that He's faithful. We forget that He won't forsake us. We forget about how He is truly our provider and how much He truly loves us. We forget about all of that because our problems, we're thinking more about our problems. And so, when you're in the ministry, it starts to affect the way you serve. Even at your job, because you're supposed to be an example. And when we're getting too carnal, we're not being a good example anywhere. Our job, our home, the ministry. But then God told us, go to Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for man, masters. Since you know that, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as as a reward. Who wants to receive a reward from the Lord? That's his promise. But how are we serving? How are we serving in the ministry? Do we have a good attitude? Do we have a bad attitude? Are we, you know, in the world, they say half, you know? You know the other half, right? Are we, hello? Is that how we're serving the Lord? Is that how we're going about our daily life? Like that? Well, if we're doing it that way, are we going to get our reward? If we're representing the kingdom, you know, the right way, are we going to get our reward? Yes. He says in due time, right? Don't give up. Because that's the next scripture that I have, is Ephesians 6:6-7. Don't work only while you're being watched. Oh. Who does that? You're sitting at your job and you're on your cell phone, you're taking selfies, or you're searching the web. But then when the boss comes in, and you're just doing your work. Right? So who are you trying to impress? Are you at your job representing the kingdom? Are you at your job saying, God, thank you for this job? It puts food on the table. Thank you, God, that this is where you have me right now to put food on the table. And I need to quit complaining. And I need to represent you right. I need to have more gratitude of where you have me right now. And you have to remember, you're not doing it for man. You're not doing it because you want to be glorified from your boss. No, you're doing it for the kingdom. He has you there for a reason. And you have to ask him, why am I here? Why don't I get a promotion? Why can't I go anywhere else? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to speak to? What is my purpose here? It's all about the kingdom wherever he has you. If you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, let your will be done in my life today. Lord, use me today. Wherever you're going to guide me. If you're saying that, then he's going to use you. If, like for us, we've been in our house for a while. And I want to move, but it just hasn't happened. So I'm not going to get angry. I praise God that I have a roof over my head. I praise God that I'm in a safe neighborhood and we're good. But we don't own the home, and I want to take ownership. I don't want to rent. But then I ask God, well, how come we don't move? Is there someone on this block? Is it my neighbor that we need to talk to? Amen? That's how we have to think. You know, what is your purpose? Every single day there's a purpose. And you got to search for it. You got to ask God for it. And if you're truly serious about it, he's going to tell you. He's going to lead you that way. Amen? I must be nervous. Or is it the Holy Spirit? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so it goes on to say, don't only work while being watched in order to please man, but as a slave of Christ. Do God's will from your heart. And this is another thing that he's been talking to us about. Your heart. Is your heart right? Is it truly, you know, for God? Is God in your heart? Does he reside in your heart? Because if he does, you're it'll be easier for you, whatever the task is, because he's going to constantly be speaking to you and drawing you, you know, like, if you're doing something that you really shouldn't be doing, he's going to convict you. Amen? And if you're doing something right, he's going to reward you in a way that no man can. He's going to reward you to give you so much peace and joy and happiness. There's a reason why he's saying surrender to his will, not yours, so that you can get that peace, so you can get that joy that he promises us, so you can get the freedom, so you don't feel like you're in so much bondage and no peace and angry all the time and fearful all the time, and it's not supposed to be this way, and I don't understand it, because we get so carnal. But we have to remember, we got to die of the flesh. We're not doing it for man. We're not doing it for our neighbor. We're doing everything that we do is for God. It's for the kingdom. Amen? Okay, so then he showed me Galatians 6, 7 through 10. For whatever a man sows, he shall reap. What are y'all sowing into? When you're in the ministry, how are you serving? What are you sowing into? Are the pastors or your leader of whatever ministry you're in, are they getting complaints about you? Are you coming in, you know, prayed up? Are you coming in with an attitude of the Lord's will to be done? Are you asking God to help you come in with joy and peace? Because you don't know who's going to cross your path in whatever ministry that you're serving in. In your job, you don't know who's going to come to you at your job, whether you're a teller at the bank. This person could be going through a crisis. Something happened. And you're feeling carnal because God hasn't came through for you yet. And you're tired of the season that you're in. And you're doubting that God isn't going to come through and say what he said he's going to do. So this person comes in and says, someone stole all my money. And then you're so carnal, you start asking questions, making them think that they did it. Hello? Is that the behavior that we're displaying? There's no compassion when we're too carnal? What about in the church? People come in here and they think it, you know, oh, this is safe. I need Jesus. But then the greeter is having a bad day. Or the greeter decided to party all night long. They might smell a little bit. Come on now. This is real. People, you know, when they go through, they go through. And you know what? Everybody's going to know about it. So they come in the doors, and I don't know, maybe they lost a loved one. The greeter doesn't acknowledge them. The greeter has no patience or just really doesn't want to have any compassion towards them, anybody. They don't even want to be here. They just came because they had to. Is that how we're serving the kingdom? In Colossians 3:23, that you're not doing it for man, you do it unto God. Everything that we do should be unto God. Whether you're babysitting a child in daycare, and they get on your nerves, but guess what? When they get on your nerves, and you behave carnally, you know, in the flesh, they're going to make a report.
to the parent. And what does that say about you? How is that going to affect, say for instance, it's our church, and the teacher gets carnal and behaves a way or says things that maybe they shouldn't say, or responds to the child kind of stern, but the child thinks they're very mean. Because the child just, they're black and white. They don't filter, oh, well, maybe she just had a bad day. No. They're just black and white. So they go report that to their mom. What if that was the first time they came here? Are they going to come back? Maybe not. Because they felt that their child wasn't safe. So what does that do? They don't come back. Now, was that fair to the church? God sent them here for a reason. A reason to, for whatever reason it is, for them to get restored, their gift unlocked, their purpose, you know, to tell them what their purpose is. But yet, that person that didn't pray themselves up or say to themselves, Lord, I want to represent you correctly. And then they said something they shouldn't have or behaved the way they shouldn't have. And then what happened? That person missed out on truly why God sent them here. And the reason, you know, like when we came in here, it was just so much freedom. And I love to worship the Lord. I truly do. When the Bible tells us you come in spirit and truth, I do, because God is a good God. He's been so good to me. Even through my troubles, He gets me through them. God is faithful, and I can testify to that. And anything that God does for me, I don't have a problem sharing with people. I can't wait to share with people the goodness of God. Amen? And when, oh my God, after the praise and worship, I was like, I'm not getting up there. I'm not going to get up there and share with them what I feel that the Lord told me to share with you. But that's all I had, was for us to, you know, check ourselves. Because, you know, I did go through my notes, and that's what all the notes are. You know, in Revelations, you know, get back to your first love. Where are you? Where are you at? Where the church is in so much disbelief right now. The church feels that they're not going to make it. The church feels that it's never going to come. We're tired. But the Lord says, don't stop. Keep going. I'm doing something for you, even though you don't know, you don't see it, and you don't feel it. He's in the midst of you doing something. But even though it isn't the way you want it, doesn't mean that He's not going to come through for you. He's going to come through for you. The delays does not mean He's not going to. It doesn't mean no. He's going to come through for you. Whatever He said to you, He's going to come through for you. And I can witness to that. Yes, do I have prophetic words out there that haven't came to pass? Of course I do. But am I going to give up on it? No. You know why? Because there's a scripture in here that says that He will watch it to make sure that it manifests in your life. So those of you that have prophetic words, find that scripture. Remind God, hey, are you watching that? Till it comes to pass, where are you? Are you watching it? It sure don't look like you are. Amen? That's what we got to do. Every situation, there's something in here that you can fight with. You can battle with. This is the most powerful tool that any of us can have. You could go ahead and try to do all you want to do. You. And it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be God, God, God. Not, I'm going to do it. you're taking too long, God. I'm just going to go about it myself, and I'm just going to go ahead and do this, all right? And what's going to happen? You're going to get out of this total will. You're going to mess up everything. And what he has for you, he said he has great plans for you. But no, you didn't want to wait anymore. You wanted to take it on your own and not trust him. And the reason why I could stand up here and tell you that is because I lived it. I've lived it. And when you sit still, no matter how long it takes, he's going to turn it around for your good. That's Bible. Whatever it is, whatever anybody's going through in here, God will turn it around for your good. It's his promise, and we have to believe it. We have to believe. That's what it is. We're not believing anymore. We're doubting more than ever. Look at all this political stuff that's happening. Are we getting up and praying? Are we praying for our nation? Are we getting up and praying for the president? Even if so many people don't like him? That's who God put there. You know how many people have been praying for all year? Who is it supposed to be? God, your will, your will, your will, your will, your will, your will, your will. Oh, here came his will. Oh, nobody likes it. But he's in the midst of it. He's going to turn things around for the nation. God is going to use him. It doesn't matter if the people don't like who God uses. It's all about the kingdom, and we got to trust that God has, he's not going to forsake us. He's got us covered. That's his promise. Amen. Y'all, if I can encourage you to just keep the good fight, keep representing the kingdom with love. If there's no love, if you don't have any love, if you're not displaying love, it's nothing. Nothing. When a person walks away from you, what are they going to say about you? Are they going to say, wow, that person needs Jesus? And there's some of those people that are in leadership they're talked about that they need Jesus. Yeah, because we're too carnal. We're too tired. We're tired of waiting. But we have to. We have to hold on to that scripture. Don't get tired of doing good, because you're going to get rewarded. God is faithful in that. And I can attest to it. He will not forsake you. He's going to answer your prayers. And sometimes it's not the way you want it to be answered. But trust, when it comes, it's good. Amen? I think that's all I have. Let's see. In Revelations 2:11, it's just something short. Those who have ears, listen to what the Spirit is saying. Well, if you feel that he is speaking to you tonight, you know, with the message, like we can no longer continue, you know, like people can't tell whether or not if you're saved, okay? If he's speaking to you, you can't get angry about it. I know we're all going through things, all of us, each and every one of us. And the last thing we want to hear or come into a service and then the Spirit's telling you, rebuking you or telling you, you need to straighten up a little bit and represent the kingdom correctly. Remember, you're serving me, not man. Because I know, I get funky too. And the last thing I want to do is come into church and hear this. But then he checks me. I get conviction. Wow, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And what's the most beautiful thing about God is all you have to do is repent. And he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't judge you. Nothing. He's just like, oh, okay. Come on. Let's go. We got a lot of work to do. What are you doing? Seek the kingdom first and everything, all things shall be added. Isn't that what it says? Then why are we tripping? Why? Ask God, bless your head with oil. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Because I got ugly thoughts in here right now. Renew it. Every day. All day, if you have to. Yes, because there's days like that. That you just cry all day. That you're just angry all day. That you're so frustrated all day. Everybody gets on your nerves all day. You're angry at yourself because you feel fat and you can't control your eating habits. You're angry at yourself because, you know, you can't stay consistent. So you're angry with yourself. How? Why? God, I pray to you, help me eat better. And then what do I want? I want a hamburger. I want a fries. I don't want water. I want a shake. I mean, come on. That's not even good for us. And then we get angry because our pants are tight and oh my God, I've gained weight. And we get angry because we're not happy with ourselves. We're not happy because God didn't come through for us yet. We're not happy because we're not eating right. We're not sleeping right. And all of the above. And then we come into church. We try to come and worship and praise the Lord, and we can't. And we're agitated in here. It doesn't take all that. Why is the music too long? Why is that person over there crying? I feel absolutely nothing. What's wrong with me? And this has been preached. This has gone forth as for why you can't get into the presence. But today, it was really good. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. You know, I really wouldn't know why, but I can't say that because I'm the type of person that when I feel the freedom and the spirit, it doesn't take me anything to get in it. And I know when I'm in it because I'm repenting, I'm crying. So those of you that want to know why people do cry is because they're having an encounter. And the Lord is speaking to that individual. And all you can do is cry and repent. You feel so oh, and then you start telling God everything you did, and you don't need to. He already knows. And he's just like, stop it. Let it go. Move forward. Whatever you did yesterday, whatever you did today, before you even got into church, just let it go. Let it all go. Lay it down and come before the King and worship him. And he will remove the burden. He will give you peace. When I go home tonight, I feel good. And you know what? That's the way we're supposed to be leaving here. We're not supposed to leave the same way. We are supposed to leave rejuvenated. We're supposed to leave restored, hope, encouraged. We're not supposed to leave the same. If y'all are leaving the same as you came in here, you need to come to the altar and ask for prayer. You really do. Because you can't. You'll end up walking out that door and saying, what happened? I feel worse than what I did when I came. I shouldn't even came. And you can't leave like that. That's not what it's about. We're open for people to get encouraged. This is what the Lord wants. We're just vessels opening up the door so y'all could come in. And you lay your burdens to God. And if you're sitting right there and you truly, truly get into the presence of the Lord, He could deliver you. He could set you free. He could heal you. He could renew your mind. He could give you hope, encouragement, all by yourself. And no man will get glory. And that's what we desire. Pastor Marty and I do not want glory at all. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. So if you guys don't feel good, I do encourage you to come up for prayer. Because I don't want you to leave here the same as you came in. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Amen.